Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. What I'm laughing about, Jesse gets to preaching before you ever turn the camera on. Yeah, shut him up and turn the camera on. Well, I'll tell you what, the power of God's all over this place. You're going to have a good time today. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for this broadcast. We are so thrilled with you and what you're doing, and we're all a part of it, and you can be just as big a part of it as we are. I tell you, God is moving all over this earth. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Jesse?
Yes, sir.
Get us in here, brother. Okay. Amen. You can go now.
Oh, I go. Okay. Thank you. when you got the Word of God burning, I mean, you know, when you get anything around
the hot, prophet said, my bones are on fire.
And he tried to shut up and he couldn't. He said, I could not stay.
I tell you what, I was talking to a fellow here a few days ago, and I said, man, you get in there and you meditate on the Word of God and you find out what you're supposed to preach. Mm-hmm. And then it starts working on the inside of you, and you walking around the room and you praising God, and man, you get to think, I can't hardly wait till 7:30 comes. I gotta unload this.
Well, you know, I saw it last night. I spent the night at Brother Copeland and Sister Copeland's house last night, and he had a friend came on. We were all talking, and I saw the anointing of God come upon you in terms of direction. I saw the anointing of God come on you in the prophetic, and then in the teaching. I mean, we live, eat, and breathe this.
Yeah, we live in that zone all the time.
This is not religion to us. No. We're not thinking of that, you know. And we've been dealing with, last week, we deal with a cruise control, the enemy of increase. Now, watch this. And, you know, because I have been all over the world, so have you, preaching. And people are always asking me, pastors, what is going on out there? What are you seeing and things of that nature, you know? Because I travel so much and things of that nature. And, you know, I hate to say this. I wish I could give them a great report, but that I see church, but a lot of time God's not in it. I see performances, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, where's the Lord in this? You know, I see time structure. God, if you can't fit into this structure, then we ain't gonna have service today. I see this. And this is the worst. People sick. Well, just hang on. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. You want to know what actual truth. And I'm not being critical here. I'm being truthful. And I see people hungry. You know, like you see these animal shows when the mother eagle or bird, the mama bird comes in, the little babies mm-hmm. are doing this, but there's no food because they won't give God time to cook the dinner. And they certainly don't give you time to serve it. You see what I'm saying? So, and when the Lord gave me this message, they're on cruise control. They're moving, but no longer by their power. They're on a religious treadmill. They are running, but they're not going anywhere because the fruit.
Jesse, that's so easy to get into, man.
It is.
You can drift off in. I had the Lord just grab me and you drift. You are going on last. You're going on last year's sermon.
Uh-huh.
And now, the Lord may have you preach the same message over and again. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But you need to stay before Him and make sure He's telling you to preach the same one mm-hmm. instead of going in there and lying on your face and find out what I'm supposed to do tonight.
I asked a man this one time, many years ago. I said, that's a Dake's Bible, isn't it? He said, yeah, they ain't no other Bible like a Dake's Bible. I said, how much of the Bible have you read as compared to the notes of Dake's? And he sunk. I said, you bought that Bible. Nothing wrong with Dake's notes. I mean, I like that.
Yeah, they're good. That's good.
But he wasn't reading the Bible. He wasn't reading the Scripture, the Word of God.
He's reading the margins.
He's reading the margins. And when you read the margins, you stay in a margin. You see what I'm saying? You're in a very slim thing
here. That stuff is juicy and you're enjoying it. If you're not careful, you start preaching this over here and I'm paying attention to this column over here.
I had a guy, I thought he was giving me a compliment. He said, you know, Brother Jesse, I can't wait till I get your magazine. I said, really? I said, well, thank you. He said, I preach those things. I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, when do you study? He goes, I said, I'm studying for you. Now, thank you that you read my magazine. Thank you. We read the Believer's Voice Victory magazine. But what I'm saying, because that's fruit.
I see it.
You see my point? They just waiting on it. They hadn't been in this. They're on cruise control. It's, in other words, you're the one studying. You're the one, and I'm not being critical, being true. You're marking the Bible. You're getting the revelations. They get the magazine or whatever. They go, now that's good. And there's nothing wrong with preaching somebody's. You can preach any message I say or any article, whatever.
That's not the point.
That's not the point. The point is what message has God given you to minister? And then I had one guy tell me, he said, well, you know, if you're in a church, it's hard to come up with material. I like lost my mind. Right? And I know that's not a good way to say it. I said, material? What are you talking about? I said, let me tell you where you get from God. And you can't get from God being on cruise control this way. You get on your knees, or you stand there and say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Every day when I do my morning devotions, I say, Lord, what will you have me to do?
I'm yours to command.
Yes, tell me. And then he told me something strong. And he said, have you read my word? I said, yes, sir. He said, then command ye me concerning my word. Oh, man. I mean, for lack of a better way to say, I almost started to tremble. I said, Lord, I can't. He said, command ye me. And that's not me snapping your finger at God because you'll lose your snapper.
Scripture says command.
He said, in other words, you ought to be able to tell God something about his word to do.
Concerning the works of my hand, command ye me.
Command ye me. So what will you have me do today? And I realized something. You're not going to do that in religiosity. You're not going to do that just, you know, in procrastination or presumption. You have got to dig in the Word of God. You have to do that. I've never been around you where you didn't have your Bible. Sometimes we go on motorcycle trips together. I want to tell you something. You're going to have all your clothes. All of us are going to have our Bibles. Now, you said, but you're on vacation. We ain't taking no vacation from God's Word.
Let me tell you what the Lord said to me. This was back when I first got started. He said, you'd be better off to leave without your britches than to leave without your Bible. I said, what? He said, you can take my word and get you some britches. But he said,
Lord,
you leave without your Bible, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
because he said you're working now.
You don't have a sword.
No, and you're working out of memory and all that
right.
kind of thing.
Yeah,
and he said even if it's where you're not using it right
then there,
where you
right.
are in the restaurant or something,
sure.
but you know where it is.
Sure.
And you get up in the morning, you read your chapter, and you do your Bible work and your Bible study. Now, Jesse, I'll tell you where we've fallen short is Smith Wigglesworth, the great 20th century apostle of faith, my goodness.
Hi.
17 documented cases of raising the dead. Mm-hmm. And God taught him to reading the Bible. Never read any publication in his entire life, and he died in his mid-80s, but the Word of God.
My Lord.
He was an illiterate plumber till God got a hold of him. Mm. Anyway, he said, they asked him about preparing his messages. Well, he said, of course, I study my Bible. But he said, when it comes time for me to prepare before I go out and mm-hmm. preach of the evening, he said, I spend considerable amount of time praying in other tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I don't know how to do it. Well, get on your knees right now. And Jesus said the Father will give the Holy Ghost to those that ask him, then just take care of it right now.
Right.
And he said, I spend my time blessing the Lord. I spend my time building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I go out at night and I bless the people.
Didn't old Roberts tell you don't put your hand on somebody till you're ready to release your faith?
Yes, sir.
That's the same thing, just in a different,
yes, sir. That's
in a different
yes,
analogy.
Sir. You don't do anything until you're ready to release your faith mm-hmm. here. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's and good. Faith worketh by love.
Right.
So those elements have to be there, or you come to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you just, without love, you just knock out all of the gifts, all nine of the gifts of the Spirit are there, and you knock your giving out, Even if I was to give my body to be burned, he's not talking about pouring gas on himself.
Right, sure.
But burning out for God.
Right,
It can't profit you nothing if it's not in the love of God.
Well, God is love.
Well, sure.
I have learned as I grow old in the Lord to be very sensitive spiritually, physically, and financially. And you don't have to be, that's just not necessarily in church. That can be out of church. The Lord told me about increase one time. He said, Jesse, He said, you need to hear my voice outside of the church as much as you do inside the church. And I said, what do you mean by that, Lord? Now, I didn't know what God was about ready to say. He said, the wealth of the sinner is not in the church. It should be there. And if you'll listen to me, I'll show you where it's at. Outside the church as well as inside the church. He said, when the church says dismiss and you get in your car and go home, he said, that didn't stop me from talking. That didn't stop me, from saying things.
Explain that a little bit about the wealth of the sinner. Okay. There's people don't know that scripture.
Okay, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. In other words, everything you see, everything, spiritually, physically, financially, I'm going to say it this way, is for you. This planet was created for us, for the body of Christ. Because when God created us, there were no sinners.
That's right.
It was not made for sinners.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Made for family.
It's made for the family of God. Now, what happened was, I say this on television. Right now, we got cameras all over in this wonderful studio. But do you know when television was thought up, the church had the ability to own it, had the ability to use it, but they preached against it because they called it a one-eyed demon. Now they got preachers on this one-eyed demon saying something.
On the steps of the federal building in Washington, D.C., they passed out television licenses.
My Lord.
And the people that gathered up there are the ones that got them.
Yeah.
The original one. Wasn't a preacher in the crowd.
That's amazing to me. See, God gives...
Then years later, we had to believe God and fight the devil to get it back.
You should not be struggling financially at all if the planet... Psalms 115, verse 16. You ought to go read it. It says, the heavens, even the heavens of the Lord. So that's the universe. But the earth hath He given to the children of men.
Men.
I mean... But if you don't take ownership of it, see? But what happens is, I went to church last week. Well, whoopee-doo, so did the devil. He don't miss Wednesday nights, do you? I don't mean that to be hard, but I'm saying is, what's happening is...
He's seeking whom he may devour.
Yes. See, the problem that I see happening out there... How do I say this, Lord? Help me. It's like you go to church, you go to a restaurant. They give you a menu. You look at the menu. You order the food, okay? You sit down, you're waiting. You never get the food, but you do get the bill. That's a lot of times, that's how church is.
Yeah.
You see, you get the bill. You got to help it. And we don't mind helping. That's not the issue. Well, to me, when I go to church, I want to learn. When I made up my mind when I got born again, every time I walk into a church building, I am there to learn something. If I didn't learn something, then I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going there to critique that pastor.
It's your job to criticize him.
No, but I think 99.9% of all counseling sessions wouldn't even happen if people listened to the Word of God.
That's true. Yeah.
You see, because that pastor, if he studied or she studied, whatever, if they're delivering that Word of God under the anointing that God gave them, without just a prepackaged service sermon, you are going to get an answer, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, or whether it's financial, whatever it may. So when the Lord told me that, I'll give you a prime example. I'm driving by a piece of property. He said, it's better. I want you to hear my voice outside the church. The wealth of the sinner laid up for the judge. I said, okay. I never thought nothing about it. I drove by this piece of property. It's junk. If I was a roach, I wouldn't live on it. You understand what I mean? And the Lord said, buy that.
Now, He said that down in here.
Yeah, buy that. Now, you got to be an idiot or a Cajun, I guess, to argue with God when it comes to a business decision. When
absolutely.
He says, buy that. I said, Lord, I don't want. And finally, I repent. I said, okay. So I bought it. I paid $125,000 for it. All right? I'm going to tell you something about my business here. Now, several years ago, I'm going to feel stupid when I tell you, I was offered $7 million for that thing. And the Lord says, you think you can do a business deal? I said, Lord, I even made the sign of the cross. How stupid. I still own that piece of property. You can tell me to sell it. My point is this, you know, because it's for his work, you see? And he said, that money has been sitting out there all that time.
Yeah.
All that time. And I, he said, and if you would not have obeyed me.
Happens all the time, Jesse.
Constantly.
The problem is, God's speaking all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We've been so spiritually dense, we haven't hearing him.
Right.
And you and I and Jerry and all the rest of us, that, well, I mean, we're at it every day,
yes,
listening
indeed.
Best we can. Are you kidding me? We're getting this when he's doing this. We're just kind of peeking behind the curtain. Now we're getting better. And we're increasing in accuracy. And I believe before this outpouring's
Amen.
Over with, we're going to have manifestation of ministries and so forth that are astounding.
Didn't the Lord show you that vision with some of that water pipe or something, but by the time it got to the faucet, it
was
in how was that? Remember that?
I was in a meeting in 1968 in Stroud, Oklahoma. And I was sitting up, I was just sitting up there in my hotel bed, and I had my Bible and my notebooks and everything out there. And I was just sitting there praying in the Spirit. I was getting ready to preach that night. And all of a sudden, I saw it in the Spirit. I didn't see it physically, but I saw it in the Spirit. And I saw this pipe about that big around, about five-inch pipe, I'd say, right about that far from my face, right about here, like this. And I'd say that pipe was 3 or 4 feet long at least, at about a 45-degree angle. From the other end of it, there was this stream of water gushing down, hitting the end of that pipe. Down here on this end, I could feel it in my face. It's just this little mist. And it just kind of irritated. I said, Lord, what is this? He said, that pipe is your spirit.
True, Lord.
He said, that water is my glory. He said, your pipe is full of unrepented sin. I said, what did I do? He said, violating the commandment of
God. My Lord.
And he reminded me of something that happened to me just before I left home a few days before. Right out on the corner where you turned off the highway to come down our street, there was a guy sitting out there in a pickup that had a bunch of cantaloupes. Gloria stopped and bought a sack of cantaloupes, and she brought them home. The top two in the sack were wonderful. The rest of them were no good. And I thought, that skunk. I said, I'm going down there and spank him. I don't like this a bit. And the Lord cut me off. I said, well, yeah, but you know, I don't like that. I was still mad at him when I got to that meeting.
I would argue with God, said, well, that's easy for you to say, you don't like cantaloupe. I do.
Yeah, and I can repent when I get done. But see, I just forgot about it and went on. He said, because you're not aware of walking in love, you're violating the commandment of love and not paying any attention to it. Now, he said, your spirit's clogged up. And he said, I'm having a hard time getting through there. Now, I heard Bill Winston describe what happened to him, almost the same thing. And God showed him a glass jar, full of muddy water. And the Lord said, all that mud in that water, and he's trying to shine a light through it, and it wouldn't penetrate it. The light wouldn't come out the other side. He said, that's your spirit full of dirt.
It's clogged up.
It's clogged up.
And he said
this to me. He said, it's also full of unnecessary stuff that you don't even need to be messing with. It's not necessary to your life, but you're spending too much time doing it.
Right.
Well, and Bill said, once, see, the entrance of his word brings light.
Right.
But the light couldn't get in there through the mud.
Right.
So, and it was very simple. I just said, Father, I judge myself, and I ask you to judge my heart. I repent of this in the name of Jesus. And according to 1 John 1:9, I believe I receive my forgiveness because the Word said you are faithful and just to forgive me my sin when I confess them. Not when I feel better, but when I confess them and cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
He cleaned out the pipeline.
Clean that pipe out. Jesse, it changed those meetings. Amen. The healing power of God increased.
Well, what happened is the now becomes a shower.
It was just flooded. Gushing down from the spirit realm, from the glory of God, and now it could flow.
You know, I know we don't have a lot of time, but maybe tomorrow I want to talk about that time in Birmingham, Alabama, when the Holy Ghost hit. There's 14,000-15,000 people there, and you came to preach, and you couldn't get one word. You start, and the Holy Ghost hit the people. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know how long you, an hour and a half? You'd go to say one word, and whoa! But you were ready, they were ready, and God was moving.
Oh, it happened in London. First time I ever preached in London. I walked up the platform,
man,
and the power of God hit. And I couldn't preach. I read my text, and they got so wild, they're running around the building, they're doing all kinds of wild things. And they'd kind of lull a little bit, and I'd read it, my text. I read it about 3 times, and I never got the whole verse read. I finally said, you started this, finish it. And so I'm just standing there, and this woman about two rows down, she jumped up out of her seat and went round. I don't know how many times. You couldn't physically do that. Whoa, and just sat back down. Mm. And I thought, well, look at that. Well, and finally, it settled down enough for me to give an invitation, and whoa, man, people all over the thing. Come to find out, that woman had... cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy, yeah.
She couldn't walk without people helping her.
And here she
walked out of there standing straight and tall. People were running there, and people had told me, said, you know, don't get upset if these people don't get excited because they're British or not demonstrative. Yeah. That's the wildest service I've ever had in my life. Well, now what's going on here? The Spirit of God is able to move.
Amen.
Because you're not on cruise control.
Right.
You're not just coming along. No. You're spending time preaching. You may preach the same sermon. I've preached essentially the same sermon for 18 months, maybe 2 years, on the love of God. But now it's got its own...
uniqueness.
It's tailored for that meeting the Spirit of God is seeing to the same text, same scripture. But... We're out of time.
We're out of time.
Oh, glory to God. Jesse and I will be back in a minute.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.